L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Emily Wilson of the University of Pennsylvania. Her new work is The Iliad by Homer, nearly 2,800, 2,700 years ago. However, imagine this book being read by 2,700 years of scholars and students, and how each century comes to it with its own assumptions, modernity each time. And we now come to the battle scenes, which the professor has rendered into English with great vividness. At the same time, it's gory. It's extremely gory. Homer wanted you to know how each of these men died and why. Professor, in translating the gore, you have, I mentioned earlier from your notes, you talked about the word spear. The sounds of the battle, you also consulted men and women who have been in combat. What did you learn from them about how to render the Greek into English?
I found it fascinating to hear from veterans, partly because they had so much of a more visceral, I think, understanding than many people of how important it is to sort of wrestle with this question of what to do about the dead. I mean, most of us don't encounter dead bodies in our daily lives, but people who've been in combat may well have had this very shocking experience of, here's either an enemy corpse or a corpse of a comrade, and we have to decide in the midst of combat what to do about that. I mean, I also just wrestled in general about the ways that the Iliad represents all this violence so clearly and often so beautifully. And it's exciting and thrilling. And very often there's this interplay of, here's a beautiful simile, which takes you to the natural world, or takes you to, here's a lion, here's an animal, here's something happening in normal life. And then here we're back to, the spear is going to go right through the eyeball and then stab in the liver and then stab in the buttocks. And it's all extremely fast and extremely exciting, and then often very beautiful, and yet there's so much pain. And that interplay of pain, beauty, glory, excitement is, I think, unlike anything else. The Iliad takes you so immediately to that combination of feelings.
The professor reminds me, they're battling for a city, but they're battling man to man on the field. And they have an understanding of what is correct and what is incorrect. There are limits to being a warrior. And one of the limits is that when the man is dead, black covers his eyes, that his armor and his corpse or his body need to be protected and treated well. And that becomes a plot point repeatedly through the book. When Hector abuses Patroclus and when Achilles abuses Hector, what did they understand about the body, the remains? What was their thinking, Professor?
The Iliad doesn't present the remains as the remains. The Iliad presents the dead person as the dead person. So it's the job of those who love and honor the dead warrior to take care of the dead warrior, just as you would take care of your friend or your loved one when he was alive. Even more, you take care of him when he's dead. He needs you even more now. And so a dead warrior wants to be taken by his people, to be washed and wrapped and lamented by his friends and the women of his family. And many of the most intense battle sequences of the Iliad, including the whole of Book 17, take place over one side wrestling for a dead person and the other side wrestling to claim that dead person, to desecrate the body. Because, of course, it's a great victory to kill someone on the other side, but it's an even greater victory if you don't allow his comrades to mourn him. And so the final sequence of the poem hinges on whether Achilles will ever let go of the body of Hector.
And the taking of the armor, what did that mean to them? Was that an act of victory? Was that showing that you didn't fear them? Why did you want the armor?
Well, it's partly just a sort of economic thing where you get something very valuable, especially if the armor is made of precious metal. But it's also a symbol of, it's again a symbol of victory. It's in book 10, when Odysseus and Diomedes slaughter the Trojan spy, they hang up his cap as an offering to Athena, because Athena, goddess of war and strategy, has helped them. It's a symbol of something more than just the single stabbing. If you can also take the body and the armor, you've shown that you're totally dominant over this fallen enemy.
The gods are participating in this battle at the same time. So we're racing back and forth from Zeus, from Olympus to the battlefield and back. And then the gods can appear in disguise. They can appear as an old woman. They can appear as a colleague on the battlefield. And mm-hmm. they have opinions as well. I was surprised again and again about how the gods can be wounded and it changes their ability. They're mm-hmm. deathless, but they bleed. Is that how to understand them? The Greeks thought gods bleed?
Well, we get that interesting passage in book 5 where the poet tells us that they quote-unquote bleed. What comes out of divine veins is not actually blood, because, of course, they're not mortal, and blood is associated with mortality. So they have something called ichor, which is running through their bodies. Their bodies are in many ways like human bodies, but they're also completely different.
And the gods enter into the battle, and now we have to introduce someone who's pro-Greek. That would be Poseidon. Mm-hmm. And Hera and Poseidon they work together. Poseidon mm-hmm. is the brother of Zeus, and he's taken another approach to his life, to his immortal life. But he and Hera have a working relationship that works for the Greeks very nicely. And I smile every time Poseidon shows up. He doesn't seem like a prankster. He seems like somebody who wants to do the right thing.
He seems also like somebody who very much resents his brother, who ought to be his equal, and yet acts so uppity and seems to have the idea that he's got to be the boss because he drew the lot of the sky out of the three brothers. Yes.
The book is The Iliad by Homer, translated into 21st century English iambic pentameter by Professor Emily Wilson, and read, and I also recommend the audible.com version by Audrey MacDonald beautifully. We're going to turn now to the heartbreaking drama that turns everything, the death of Patroclus. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.